Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
Today we're going to look at a paperback of The Untold Legend of the Batman, a nostalgic item, comes out in 1982, sold in schools. But before we do that, Ed, tell us about Red Room.
Sold in schools as well, man. Murder on the dark web for fun and profit is the name of the game in Red Room Comics. You see an issue, scoop it up, give it a read. It's going to be a complete experience, unlike monthly comics that come out from the big two. You can find these at your local comic shop or get them from the Fantagraphics website, because we have very limited quantities available. People are snapping these things up like crazy at the comic shops. And I got to thank the Kayfabe audience. I think that has a lot to do with it, Jimmy. If you want to read these comics right this minute, you don't want to leave your house, man, go to my Patreon, patreon.com. Look at that right there, man. Shouts to Jackass. They got a new movie coming out in October. Hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 for the archive there. Put up the strips before they hit paper. And I have about 150 strips available right now. PDF of the free Comic Book Day comic is up there for free to check out, man. Give you a good primer on what the series is about. All those links are available in my link tree in the description below this video.
You can join me on patreon.com and see how I make comics like Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive. That's patreon.com/JimRugg. And you can find Street Angel, Deadliest Girl Alive wherever you buy books or comics while supplies last. We are running through this print run and nearing the end of it. So you can tell your store to order one if they haven't already, or pick one up off the shelf. And you can join me on Patreon to see my original art, scripts, layouts, and see how I make the comics I make, including Street Angel and Octobriana and many other comics like that. So join me on patreon.com/JimRugg. But we're here today, Ed, to talk about this sort of an oddity. I came across this recently and had to pick this up because I love the paperback format. Did a little bit of digging into this. It's a collection of... It's reformatted, but it's a collection of DC's second miniseries, their first Batman miniseries, also called The Untold Legend of the Batman. You see, you know, regular kind of comic art team working on these. The first one is drawn by John Byrne and inked by Jim Aparo. And then the second two issues, I think it's a three-issue miniseries.
Three issues.
Drawn by Jim Aparo.
Let me ask you this. When you say something like this is the second miniseries, you got to tell the people what the first miniseries is, so I hope you know it.
I'm afraid I don't.
Kayfabers, if you do know, you got to put that in the comments, man.
But that miniseries comes out, I believe, in 1980. And what this story is origin stories. This is a jumping on point for Batman, where they expand the origin across these three issues. And I don't want to exactly call this a great comic. I wouldn't go that far.
Let me tell you something. This comic is perfect for kids who are jumping on board, because I was one of them. The format that I read it in, because they put this thing out in many different ways, regular comics, but the way that I got hold of it was in multi-packs at my hardware store called Keystone Plumbing.
Of course, your first comic book store, the hardware store.
Yeah. Like there would be one of these in every grab bag. So like you were definitely getting one of these Batmans, and I just put that together, all at once. And the comics that I got, they were smaller in size, but they were bigger than this. They were sort of in between this and normal comic book format.
Here, we can show off to give you at home a sense of the size of this paperback.
Yeah, and I apologize. I just couldn't find those comics here. But like they were packaged with like an audio cassette tape that did like a read-along kind of gimmick. Now, here's the other cool thing about those other comics. And maybe when I find them, we'll do a video on that too. There were no ads and there was no text in those comics. So on the inside covers, they would reprint black and white photo stats of classic covers or just interesting, weird Batman covers. And it's the first time I saw Silver Age Batman artwork. And I'm like, that's just like the beginning of the cartoon.
I mean,
the Adam West TV show, you know what I'm saying? And I was totally infatuated with that style. But as a little kid reading this stuff, you get a little bit of everybody. You get a little glimpse of Joker and Two-Face and this guy and that guy. You get a solid Batman origin, or, you know, you get a Batman origin.
The Batman origin's weird in here, by the way. I'm going to point this part out where you see Robin. This is a young Bruce Wayne who's learning detective skills from, like, a police detective, but he's dressing up as Robin to conceal his identity because he's afraid that the detective will figure out what he's doing fighting crime later on in life.
Well, fuck, Jimmy, let's talk about the Alfred Pennyworth origin, man, where he was a young thespian doing Hamlet, but because his dad said so in his deathbed that you have to have a life of servitude. Why? Because a Pennyworth has had a life of servitude
for
every
now.
Generation, so he gives up his successful acting career. Walks into Bruce Wayne's crib, walks into a rich dude's house, and is just like, yeah, I'll find my own bedroom and shit.
He does.
Like, dog, don't even worry, man. Breakfast is going to be at 7 a.m.
Yes, don't be late.
I hope I'd appreciate your punctuality. And Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson are like, the whole time. They don't know what to do, man.
It's ridiculous. Every time a character shows up, you're going to get his origin.
Yeah.
So this is Robin's origin, which is really out there. Like, his parents were killed as trapeze artists by, like, the local muscle is muscling in on the circus to try to get a piece of the action.
But look what Bruce Wayne does, man, because he uses him as bait, man, to pick up chicks. So it's like he's, like, bringing his little brother to the parties, and all these girls are flocking to him, like, oh, look, he's so cute. And then Bruce Wayne is bagging them, man.
Yeah, and he obviously Robin can fight. He's out there at night fighting adult men, but he can't. He has to be meek at school. He can't use his fighting powers against the bullies.
So the MacGuffin is that Batman is receiving, like, weird letters and ripped up costumes and stuff. And
hold that thought, because we're at Alfred's origin.
Yeah, he's a badass soldier.
Yes. Helping refugees escape the Nazi oppression. You see him holding up barbed wire and sneaking people out.
And he's got those, like, little guns.
Shooting machine guns. It's amazing. And then returning to the stage after the war, and that's whenever the deathbed father explains to him, you gotta be in service.
I never thought of a young Hamlet, Prince of Denmark, with that hairline.
Alfred always looks like Alfred. And so, as you say, Ed shows up one day at Wayne Manor, explains he's there to be their butler, which they're not sure they need, and that's it. He'll see him in the morning at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, it really reads like Bruce Wayne doesn't want anybody, like, sort of in on the secrets of, like, what's happening in that Wayne Manor, man.
Well, it's Alfred hears voices coming from behind the clock and stumbles onto the Batcave. You know, that's how he learns that his master is Batman. But as you were saying, the story is... There's a costume that's his father's costume, and it comes up missing.
Yeah.
And so now, who knows their identity? Who knows how to get into the Batcave? And that's why we're getting all these backstories as they're going through and trying to solve this mystery.
See, so stuff as a little kid, you need this, man. You're getting acquainted with, like, the comic book version of all these different bad guys that are a classic. And then you're left with questions, because, like, when you see Tweedledee and Tweedledum, you're like, how does that work in this universe? You know what I'm saying? And with those books that I was telling you about, like, some of the covers that would be included would have some of the weird shit. There was, like, an owl-looking Batman, and it's so close to, like, what that Bruce Wayne's dad's bat costume looked like. So, like, that kind of shit would be used on the inside covers and a couple extra pages when necessary. Maybe the Red Hood
comic was one of them. Yeah, here's your... pretty cool Joker, but the Joker origin section of the story, it's kind of funny. You know, it's an odd book. I like this format. You know, part of the reason that I wanted to do this video was to show off the paperback a little bit, talk about it.
Yeah.
And one of the parallels I see with the this paperback format and comic book format is both of these things were, like, the cheapest formats to produce at one point. And as a result, you know, you can see every comic had a paperback version because it was such a ubiquitous format. And now it's almost obsolete. And I feel like comic books are similar, where the comic book format is the comic book format because it was the cheapest thing to produce at the time. And now that's gotten out of, you know, it's no longer the cheapest format or cost friendly. So kind of interesting to think about how these formats evolve and come and go, because you really can find pretty much any successful comic in this format.
Yeah. I you know, at flea markets and stuff, I would pick this kind of thing up. It's how I got a hold of, like, a lot of weird reprints of, like, old Superman and
Absolutely. But all the Peanuts books, you know, like it's just all kinds of stuff. And what's neat about it to me is that they're cutting this stuff up. It's almost like when you start thinking about like mobile comics on a phone and stuff, and how does that work with like a trade paperback or whatever? I think you have to reformat the stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
You
know, that's those not different the page. Formats. That's not the page. And you know, it's shitty. Like it doesn't do justice to the ink work of Jim Aparo or whatever. As I was going through this series and giving it a, you know, critical eye, like looking at it through the eyes of an adult who's working on this stuff, Jim Aparo is an excellent draftsman. It's the compositions that are just lackluster, and it's not even that they're bad, functional, but his anatomy, like the guy can draw like nobody's business. Yes. It's just like if I had that facility, like I can make that shit sing. I just know I could, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting to think of like DC House style, even compared to Marvel, where you're right, like all this stuff is, it's very clear. Everybody is, you know, consistent from panel to panel. You can tell where they're at, what's going on, but not necessarily exciting. It reminds me of like How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way, where the guy, you know, there's like the two pages of the office scene, a guy comes in, and it's like, but this is how we do it at Marvel, and they're Dutch angling and close-ups and everything. It feels like this. A lot of these, you know, it's very static, these compositions.
Clip arty, you know, Bob Dobb, Church of the Subgenius faces, and in this black and white format, cut up like this, ain't far from Rex Morgan, M.D.,
The other thing it reminds me of is a bunch of the European formats where there was a popular black and white paperback like this, where it'd be like two panels per page. Yeah, they were a little bit wider, but like the Italian market had that, the French market had that.
Mexico.
Kind of neat to, you know, think about like the American market trying to take their comic books and like, can we have a second life here? Can we sell these through other channels?
The format is kind of proportional, but you can't shrink our pages down that much.
Although Marvel did in some of theirs.
I never seen that.
So, yeah, you know, we may look at maybe some more of these paperbacks over time. I remember when we were looking at Calvin and Hobbes and saying, like, kind of like to see them in paperback. Well, they had that, and I tracked a couple of those down. So I have a, like, box of paperbacks, and at some point maybe we'll pull those out and give those another look. But I have a Spider-Woman Marvel collection, and it's just pages shrunk down, and it's in full color.
Jimmy, give up the ghost on a 40-year-old comic. Who the fuck was sending letters to the Batcave? Because because one of the through lines, one of the MacGuffins, was that the reason why we saw that Rogues Gallery is because Bruce Wayne, he's like trying to conceive of like everybody who knows where the Batcave is. And how they would possibly address the thing to him. Not even taking into account that the package is there. So, like,
it's like the message is coming from inside the house.
Yeah, like, it's not like the postman is gonna, you know, deliver your package and then hit himself with that Men in Black flashlight gun.
Yes, the big reveal is the guy who has stolen his dad's Batman costume and left menacing notes is Robin. Batman was in an explosion that's not in this book, although it's referenced. They talk about the explosion he was trapped in and how it's kind of left him out of sorts. Mm-hmm. And so this whole preposterous plot is designed to help snap him back to reality.
By gaslighting him, of
course. That's right, that's right.
And it works?
It does work.
Hey, there's a lesson for you kids who got this through the Scholastic Reading is Fundamental tear sheets.
Yeah, it's funny. You think, like, man, if I read this, would I want to read any more of this? It's not very satisfying in the end, but some of the characters are super cool along the way, and mostly just a neat object. This is an 11th printing to give, you know, some idea that it definitely reached that audience, or it reached an audience and sold, you know, pretty well.
Probably 5,000 a print run.
At least. Yeah. I mean, it's hard to tell. Paperbacks, it might be 50,000 a print run.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But also, so fascinating that, like, I've never even seen this before.
Well, you know, certainly the paperback, you know, it's early 80s whenever the first printings of this come out. So, yeah. And I think these books that are sold, like, I think it was sold through the Scholastic stuff. Like, kids in schools could get this.
Right.
That stuff doesn't survive, you know, because kids get it, they beat them up, they read them over and over, they throw them, you know, they discard them, so...
I no longer have my copies of the Boxcar Children slipcases, dude.
Exactly. Exactly the example I was thinking of, Ed.
Oh, man. What do you say, Jim? Ready to go?
Yep.
Okay, Fabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when new vids are available.
Join me on patreon.com/JimRugg, where you can see how I make Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive, Octobrion in 1976, and much more original art, scripts, sketches, process, and you can download a dozen out-of-print zines and mini-comics. patreon.com/JimRug.
You know the other book that we all got from this shit, man, and from homeroom class? How many printings do you think there were of Freckle Juice? Remember that one?
I do, man. Yeah, there's probably millions of those things out.
Get Red Room Comics. Murder on the Dark Web for fun and profit, man. There are 4 issues on the stands right now. Get them from your local comic shop. But if you don't have a shop in town, hit the Fantagraphics website up. You could order them that way. Limited copies available, though, man. So get them quick. Or hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 for the archive there. And you can read these comics before they hit paper. All those links in my link tree in the description below.
Dude, those Scholastic order forms, they were like the Oprah Book Club for kids. Brilliant.
Absolutely, man.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Can you imagine the loot that Judy Blume made from that stuff, man? Given those marching orders, we'll be on our way.
Read more comics.